to accept the grime, because everyone does, and that is part of the fun of it though, because you, like, everyone is gross and dirty. No, I think my degree definitely plays a big part in what I choose to do with URN.
Hi, I'm Erin Velak, and I've made it my mission to interview the members of the University of Nottingham's student radio station, URN. Join me to uncover how our members got into student radio, what they're listening to in their free time, and their most iconic pieces of clothing that might make you recognise them as you're walking around campus. I want to know who they are when the mics aren't live, so let's find out. This is Off Air with URN.
I am joined today by a very, very special guest because she is my co-host in one of my other podcasts. What? I have another podcast. It's Gabby, who is part of Eco Frenzy. Say hi, Gabby.
Hi.
We're going to start with a bit more about you, obviously. You know the theme of this podcast. Obviously, we know each other really, really well. And not to brag, Gabby and I are really good friends.
We're actually really good friends.
So I really want to make this very listenable for the listener, but I'll ask you some questions that I might already know the answers to.
Okay.
But we'll make it work. Because most of these are like a nice fun journey of me learning about people, but I think you know
everything about me already.
Yeah. I think that's mostly a fair statement.
Never know, there might be some secrets.
Some secrets.
We'll see if they get exposed.
Well, I hope so, because I want to find out a bit. You know, okay. I want to find out something I didn't know. That's your mission today, to try and tell me something new.
Okay. I choose to accept that mission.
Lovely. But we'll start off for the listeners. How did you get into radio? How did you get into URN? Did you come to uni knowing you wanted to do student media at all? Or how did you stumble across this?
I came to uni with the goal of joining one society, because I felt like I should make sure I do at least one thing outside my lectures. And I went to the Freshers' Fair and Emily gave me a leaflet. And I was like, great.
The famed Emily Oxbury, deputy head of station.
Deputy head of station.
You should listen to her episode.
Yeah, gave me a leaflet. And then I went to NG1, the first and only time I've been to NG1, I would like to put that out there. And I was in the queue for the bar and a man came up to me and asked if I was a fresher for UON. And I was like, yeah, I am. And he went, oh, you should do radio. So I did radio.
Lovely.
And that's it. I just basically got told that I should. So I did. And I had the goal of joining one society, and this worked for me. I like to talk.
It does work for you.
Works for me.
Did you have any interest in media beforehand? Had you had any experience with writing or anything like that when you were at school?
Little bits here and there. Like, I've always been a big fan of a petition. Always really, like, big fan of a petition, a big fan of, like things like I was, like, head girl and stuff like that. Like, I've always been sort of around, like, student life, even in, like, school and stuff. So I quite liked doing it here, the idea of like being able to comment on student life and get involved with people may not have necessarily met otherwise. Like, me and you would never have met each other.
Yeah.
We're in different years and we do completely different degrees. We just never would have crossed paths if it wasn't for URN, and I quite liked like the draw of that. But I'd never done any like official student media stuff before. But it always interested me. I'd never like not wanted to do it, just never had the opportunity.
Did you have like school papers and stuff like that, or is it just completely not on your radar at all?
Not really, no, not on my radar. Like I said, I did a little bit as like head girly stuff.
Yeah.
But not, like I said, nothing really official. It was more like talking to parents and stuff, like the letters that went out to parents. I did a bit of that kind of thing, but it was not like, it was all very censored.
Yeah.
It was like I was writing a specific thing and I couldn't necessarily write what I wanted to write or say what I
really
wanted to
felt.
Say.
Mm. Yeah. And it is worth mentioning you do a history and politics degree.
I do history and politics.
You do. Which means I feel like this kind of stuff is right up your street, especially the sort of radio you've been involved in, because you've done mostly Eco Frenzy, which I think I've mentioned before, but if you guys haven't listened to the other episodes of Off Air, why are you not listening to the other episodes? But as we mentioned as well earlier, this episode is we do Eco Frenzy, which is all about the environment, and we have a podcast that go out, but we do it as a radio show. Do you think that sort of I don't know what I want to call it, maybe factual sort of media is more your take on things? Because as this is what I was, you know, bringing the pieces together with the history and politics degree. It's very much the sort of stuff we end up talking about is what's going on with the government and like that sort of perspective of things, but also how things have progressed, I guess. We'll call that history.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think my degree definitely plays a big part in what I choose to do with URN. Not always. Like, I do some, like, silly daytime stuff now and then. But realistically, I do a little bit of news and I do Eco Frenzy. With, like you said, we do keep it, like, we comment on current affairs, to do with the environment. I think mostly, at least, we'll at least have one section of every episode that we will comment on what's currently happening. Mm. And that's what I really enjoy. I love discussing what's currently happening, and I love to hear other people's opinions on it. I love to give my opinion on it as well. Like, I like to share my thoughts on stuff, and I like to share my thoughts on what's currently happening because I think it has an actual impact. Not the magazine. It has like an actual impact on when you're discussing things with people, if you know kind of what's going on. And I think, like, for me, it's just what I enjoy doing. I really enjoy it. Like, I love my degree, which I think then that's why it translates into what I choose to do with URN. Very political.
And it's also very much, I think, as you were saying, like, what you're interested in, and I guess what suits your personality and what you're like. The media, I find the media you consume otherwise is the media you then kind of want to replicate and reproduce.
Yeah.
So you ended up doing Eco Frenzy, which obviously really helps with your politics history degree. Like, that all is sort of the same. I'd say it's a similar skill set you're using for the research side of things and the debating of it all. But how did you actually end up picking Eco Frenzy? Because I had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, so Duke, Alex Duke, mm-hmm. was the head of speech in my first year. And I came to, like, the radio taster things, and I wasn't quite sure necessarily what I wanted to do. I didn't want to do something by myself.
Yes.
So my whole point of joining a society is I wanted to meet a wide range of people. I didn't necessarily want to do an after dark show from 3 till 5 a.m., where I just sat in the studio by myself. Not that that's not important and not a great part of the station. It's just not what I wanted to get out of the society.
Yeah.
I wanted to meet people.
Pretending.
Yeah. And it's basically Duke messaged me on WhatsApp and was, because I'd chatted to him a little bit, and he messaged me and was like, hey, there's this girl, Erin, who's like in the year above you. She's, all her co-hosts have left for Eco Frenzy. Would you want to join that? And I basically just said yes.
So he put the show out. Didn't he just specifically? Interesting.
So he messaged me. I don't know if he got the vibe from me that it would be the type of thing I wanted to do, or just he knew that you wanted someone to do it with, and that I wasn't necessarily like
tied down to anything else.
I wasn't tied to anything else. I didn't know anyone. I didn't join the society knowing anyone. Lots of people join with a friend and do it with a friend. I did not join with a friend. I just did it. And that I wasn't necessarily sure I'm doing something by myself. So I think that he put those dots together.
And they worked out
well. And introduced me to you. We went with Eco Frenzy.
And we love it.
For the whole of last year and this year.
And yeah, and as I say, I always love hearing it kind of from your perspective, because it was so different for me. Because obviously I was the one who, I was speaking to Duke, and we just call him Duke in case that isn't obvious.
Yeah.
It's Alex, we just
everyone calls him Duke.
So I was speaking to him being like, yes, I do still really want to co-host. I don't want to do this alone, because I'd done it. I'd been one of four the year before. So I was like, I can't go from four people to just me by myself.
Yeah.
And the whole point of Eco Frenzy is it's very discussive. Is that a word?
We have a lot of
discussions. Yeah. And so I very much was said, find me a co-host, just do your best. And I think that might have been why I was pushing that particularly. Because I remember when I joined radio, it was very much, here's a list of people who've said they wanted, or a list of kind of things to pick from. And then whoever was head of Joe Wilkinson, who you would never have met.
No,
I've was not head met. Of speech at the time. I think he was in his last year. And he sent kind of me a list of like some of the things and was like, what might you be interested in? I was like, oh, I quite like to do this and this, and then, you know, just kind of landed on Eco Frenzy eventually. But You weren't given the options.
No, I wasn't given any options, which I think is also like part of why I didn't know what I could have done at radio.
It's so really hard because it's really hard.
Demo.
Yeah.
Just demo. And I was like, oh, well, I was like scared little fresh. And I was like, I don't know what the options are. I don't want to start doing something that someone else is already doing. Mm. And like I said, didn't want to do it by myself.
No.
Really? And there weren't that many. There were lots of freshers that joined, but a lot of the people in my year group do After Dark and do daytime. There's not a lot of
culture or
speech people who joined at the same time that I did. Mm. And I wasn't, again, I love music. I love listening to music. I listen to music all the time. Didn't want to do an After Dark show though, because I didn't want to do it by myself.
Yeah. And that is so fair and valid. And I like that.
Yeah.
What a nice, proper, full answer.
You're welcome.
Look at us. We're staying on topic as well.
I'm doing my absolute best.
We're doing so good. We also do have Georgia sitting in the studio, listening in, checking things are all okay.
Yeah. She's our producer today. We love it.
Yeah. And so if you hear any noises, I'm going to blame them all on Georgia. She's not saying a word, but she's looking at me like, okay, Erin, you're the one who keeps shifting around on the sofa. And I'm like, hush, don't tell anyone. Anyway, would you say that there is a certain, I don't know, stereotype around the different parts of the station? And like the After Dark is the daytimers, the sports people and all that. And do you think you fall into any of those stereotypes? Whether it's the stereotype of actually being, say, having a culture show or being part of speech. Or do you think you fall into like a daytime stereotype?
I think there are stereotypes.
Mm.
I think that's a given. And they're normally like jokey. Like everyone's like, oh, the After Darkers don't sleep.
Yes.
And stuff like that. And all of these things. And
they are founded in truth though, on the whole.
I don't know what the speech stereotype is.
Mm.
So
I'm
can't
not sure they're particularly is.
I think because we're quite like we're quite a small part of the station as well. I don't think we necessarily like think, and also our shows are on a weekend, so we often don't meet everyone.
Yes,
and get to know everyone like in the station because we're not always here like during the week when all the daytimers are here and when all the After Darkers are here in the evening. So I'm not saying I don't fall into the stereotype. But what I'm saying is I would like to know what the speech stereotype is before I say whether I fall into it. Because I probably do.
You probably...
I just don't know what it is.
You know what? You probably are the speech stereotype.
Probably am.
Because thinking of the people I know, I don't know if I have the words to say it, but we are.
Yeah, we are. I think like chatty.
Also, I'd say your music tastes aren't very After Dark. They're not very daytime. They fall somewhere in the middle.
They definitely do fall somewhere in the middle because I'm not... Like, I don't listen to specialist music, but I don't necessarily listen to pop music.
Yes.
Either, or like chill daytime music. Like when I've been on the Erin and Joe show, like I don't choose songs because I don't choose daytime songs. It's not necessarily that I dislike it. I don't dislike the songs at all, but they're not my first pick of what to listen to if I were to, you know, put my headphones on and listen to something.
What would you be listening to? I know, tough question.
It is a tough question because
you can also just pick the right now, because I know everyone changes. It's like today, I've been listening to One Direction. Right, I don't listen to One Direction most days, but today, for some reason, I woke up and went, yep, that is what I'm going to listen to.
I mean, I listen to a lot of indie music. Like on Spotify, my like suggested, you know, when they make a mix for you, my top one is always the indie mix. It's a lot of Catfish and the Bottlemen, Easy Life. Which again, not necessarily like the indiest of indie music,
it's
but
like
they
the
are in the indie playlist.
Indie.
I guess maybe mainstream indie, and then some odd choices. I really like ELO. I really like the Electric Light Orchestra. My favorite song is Mr. Blue Sky. Favorite song in all
that
of all time.
Rogue.
Which, yeah, again, it's a bit rogue. I really like Simon and Garfunkel as well.
Interesting choice again.
So I think like I don't think there's anything I wouldn't want to listen to. What I listen to least though would be like drum and bass. It just doesn't come up on my radar at all, unless I'm in Unit 13. But even then I don't enjoy it that much.
No.
Really, the music, like, take me to Ocean. Or I can have a little sing along. Or Crisis last night, they played like 7 Taylor Swift songs. Living my best life.
I will say, I think anyone who doesn't know the clubs in Nottingham has learned the clubs in Nottingham through this podcast.
Yeah. They play we such a vital part, clubbing. Though, because they are your music taste, a lot of them.
And do you find that the music really influences whether you have a good night out or not, or are you less kind of, I guess, invested in what music they're playing? You're just, it depends on the people you're with.
I'd say the music really influences. For me, I'd say the music really influences a night out. Like, last night I was having an absolutely cracking time at Crisis because the music was really good.
Because it was Taylor Swift.
Yeah. But there was also a big range of music, and that's part of why I like... I know Rock City can often get a bad rep, as people don't... People are like, oh, Rock City, like, why are you going to Rock City? But I find for my friendship group, which is a really wide range of music choices, because, like, for me... Indie Wednesday at the Bodega, I would go every week. Not many of my friends would ever go to Indie Wednesday. And that they would go to like Unit 13, which I'll go, but I'll leave early.
Yeah.
Once I've stopped having fun, the music doesn't make me want to stay. And I find that Rock City or Crisis sits somewhere in the middle for that, that we get a couple of like sing-along songs, which we can all sing along and dance to. Then there's like a little bit of like, you know, remixes and stuff like that with like a good beat. So I find like for my friendship group, which has a really wide range of music taste, that is actually a really good night out for us as a friendship group.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I will say, I do think you need a right balance of the both. Yeah. You need to keep everyone happy. So it's nice.
Well, I think then everyone can enjoy their night out and people aren't getting bored.
Because when people get bored, that's when, I mean, personally, I know if I'm bored, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, especially when it gets that time in the morning, you're like, it's 1 a.m. If I'm not having fun, it is not worth my energy.
If it hits like 1:30 in Unit 13, and if I'm not like living my best life, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
And I think
because the
so
music
valid.
Doesn't make me want to stay because I like something I can sing along to.
Yeah. As it should be. And we all know you love an Indie Wednesdays at Bodega.
I adore.
Whenever you go, you get the best pictures. There are pictures of you with your pumpkin.
Me and my pumpkin.
And you know, hopefully, I'm going to use that as your picture for the episode on the Instagram.
And I think that's so fair. Those pumpkin pictures, I get people like coming up to me and being like, those photos of you with the pumpkin are so funny. And I'm like, I posted those in October, babes.
Yeah, that was for Halloween, wasn't it?
It's for Halloween. Shout out to Ava, because Ava found me the pumpkin. So we shout out. And then I carried it around Bodega all night like a baby. I loved it. Erin will post the photos on the
Instagram.
On the Instagram, off air with URN.
Yep.
Follow it. But yeah, and like I just always have a good time at Indie Wednesday. I also quite like that it's quite small. I feel like I can relax because I feel like I'm not going to lose my friends.
That is true. I'm going to take us on a bit of a different path.
Okay.
We've done our nights out chat. We've done our radio chat. We've spoken about music. Let's get to know Gabby. Who is Gabby behind the music? That sounds a bit dramatic.
That is dramatic.
I'm not going to ask you about behind the music, but what I did want to ask you is, what would be, if you're going on Mastermind or something like that, I need a specialist subject, Gabby. What would be your specialist subject?
Okay.
The more niche and the less I know, I would have guessed this from you, the better the answer. But I also...
This is very niche.
Mm-hmm.
The Harry Potter audiobooks narrated by Stephen Fry.
Okay. So
super
you would
niche.
So would you want questions on the creation of the audiobooks themselves, or would you want it to be actually about the books but you just like the audiobooks?
Both. Because I feel like you've got to go pretty niche on Mastermind to be able to
especially
win.
If it's Harry Potter.
Yeah, because it's such and like you want I don't want to do like all the books. Everyone does that. It's boring. I do that, or I'd love to do, like, I've been to Reading Festival, like, 4 times. And, like, so, like, Reading Festival on, like, the years that I've gone, I think would be really fun. I'm not sure, like, I would know anything right now about it, but I think, like, I could learn everything about it because I was physically there and had a great time.
Yeah. You do love a festival.
I love a festival.
I think that's right. I haven't personally been to one. I know I'm not too old, but in my mind I've convinced myself I'm too old because now my younger sister has been.
Yeah, I think... I feel too old for Reading now. Mm. I wouldn't do Reading again until I'm an actual adult and I go like glamping, because it is my type of music. Like, I think actually if we're going to sum up my type, Reading Festival is always my type of music. Some years better than others. Like the lineup for Reading 2019, the first year I went, was the best lineup for me ever, like at that time when I was like 17. I literally like was in shock the whole time that I was there. So I think like mastermind questions, either the Harry Potter audiobooks, because I'm in deep with the Harry Potter audiobooks, or like Reading Festival. Because I'm just an I just go all the time.
I love that. I love that. Are you going this year?
No, I'm not going this year. I'm putting a stop to it.
I was going to say, is that a choice that you've made to go no more?
It's a choice I've made to go no more because I feel a little bit old for it.
Because I think it
in terms of the way that I've been doing it previously, I'd want to do it in a different way and I don't have the money to facilitate that. So we're having a break. And when I've like
got a job.
Got a
not
job
a student anymore.
When I'm not a student anymore and I can like glamp or get like an Airbnb, so I'm not not because I dislike camping, I don't mind it, so I'm not surrounded by 16-year-olds,
because it's grotty, isn't it?
Reading is grotty
because I just know the stories you've told me and so like other friends that have been,
yeah,
and actually it's not made me want to go.
No, I can understand
that. Music, and I love the idea of music festival, like I love live music, I love all that kind of stuff, and I really enjoy camping,
yeah.
But it's the other people and it's the...
It's a lot. It's a big weekend and you have to really mentally prepare yourself for it.
Mm.
And if you're not mentally prepared for it, don't go.
Yeah. That's really good advice, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. It's a hard weekend. You'll get home and you'll sleep for 48 hours.
Have you done that?
Yeah. Every time, like, I get home, I'll, like, shower... like three times because it's so great, especially as I get early bird as well, so I'm there for 5 days in a tent.
Do they have I'm guessing they have showers, but they're communal and they're not worth it.
They're communal and they're not worth it.
Are they ones where
you accept the grime, because everyone does, and that is part of the fun of it though, because you like everyone is gross and dirty, but like when like mum and dad have picked me up before and they were like, we didn't want to say anything,
but you smell,
but you smell, and we're gonna have to open the windows. It was 5 days in a tent, and I did like the baby wipe wash. I was like fresh clothes and everything,
yeah.
But there is nothing quite like a shower. And also, Reading is so dusty, like, so it's all like it's obviously it's grass, but all the grass like dries away. And it's on the really hot bank holiday weekend in August, and it's so dusty that I like shampooed my hair and the shampoo was coming out brown.
Oh.
And like I didn't use dry shampoo for the whole 5 days because it's so dusty that all the dust soaks up the grease from your hair.
Lovely.
We'll just let that one hang for a minute.
That is.
It's rough.
Lovely.
But really good fun.
What would be your top tip for someone going to Reading? How can they make the most of the experience? Or any music festival, but I guess Reading's the one you've done the most.
Reading's the one that I've done the most. I think if I was going to give my top tip is go with like an open mind and accept the dirt, accept you're going to smell, accept you're going to need the toilet, and you're going to wait until you're in the arena toilets. Oh, that is my like specific tip. If you can hold your number two until the arena opens, the arenas are proper toilets. So in the campsites, not proper toilets. Troughs or portaloos, it's not a good experience. But if you can wait until you get into the arena, they are proper flushing toilets. They're kept very clean. The people who work those toilets are angels. They are proper flushing toilets. They're clean. There's soap. There's running water. There's toilet paper. So I know that it's a big anxiety thing for people going to a festival, the toilets. And I didn't know my first year about the arena toilets being proper toilets. And it was really stressing me out. It was making me really, really anxious. Arena toilets are proper toilets. You're fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. And especially if you don't have early bird. You're only there like the night before.
Everyone's in the same boat. So no one minds if you're taking a while in the arena toilets.
No, honestly. And
they'd much rather you did, wouldn't they?
There's so many arena toilets as well. Like, they're really, really good. There are lots of them. They're all over. And it's just like, we would do the first thing we do is go to the toilet, and the last thing we do before we leave is go to the toilet.
I love this planning.
Yeah, it is. And also to have a meeting point if you get lost. It's a big place, and especially if you're it's your first time and you're like 16, 17, like pick a meeting point. So you pick one meeting point in the arena, and then your campsite meeting point is your tent. And if you get lost, or you don't have phone signal, or you lose your phone, because it happens, people lose their phones, they get stolen, all of this stuff, you have that meeting point and you look after your friends.
What is the biggest thing you wish you could change about Reading? Like, if you could talk to the organisers. So now we've kind of given a tip to the people going. What would be your tip to the organisers?
Deal with the waste. Okay. It is awful. It is one of the worst festivals for waste and things being left behind. You could drop your... thing is you could, like... if you weren't taking your tent home, you could drop your tent off with these people, but... I didn't know where they were. First of all, I took my tent home, but if I wasn't, I wouldn't have. I couldn't tell you where they were. I couldn't tell you how to access them. The bin situation isn't great. You need to take lots of bin bags with you, and you fill them up, and you have to then take them to the bins. So my thing to the organisers is that they need to be a lot more on it with the waste and encouraging people to take their tents home, and that would be helped if they dealt with people going around and destroying stuff. Because people go around and destroy stuff because they are really drunk or have taken illegal substances, and they go around and destroy people's tents, and people aren't going to take a broken tent home. So I think if there was a handle on that a little bit more, and they're really good. I've never felt unsafe. I would say I've never felt unsafe at Reading, but my first year there, like, tents and stuff were getting set on fire like right near us, and like every year there's a group of tents that get set on fire, and I don't know how you deal with that, but I think there needs to be more dealing with that, because it's a lot of people's first festivals and just don't know how to act.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing with Reading, maybe in particular, is that it's that big one.
People just don't know how to act, and that's hard. And also sun cream, more availability of sun cream.
Did you bring your own? Are you allowed to bring your own?
Yeah, you can bring your own. You can bring, like, alcohol and everything into the campsite. You can't bring anything into the arena, but you can bring pretty much anything into the campsite as long as it's not glass. So you can bring all your own drinks and everything. You've just got to carry them, and that's fine. But
I think that's a fair deal.
It's quite a long walk. But well, you just kind of do it, and you only do it twice.
Bringing a lot with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a good kind of a way around it. But
yeah,
I did know that about you, that you love Reading. But
I loved
especially subject. I love that as your specialist subject.
Yeah. To be fair, that like came to me, and I was like, oh, yeah, actually, that's quite a good.
Sometimes your first thoughts are your best thoughts.
Yeah.
Sometimes your second ones are even better, though.
Even better.
Speaking of being better. What is your proudest achievement up till now?
That's a hard one. Because there's not one thing that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
But I have several achievements that I am proud of. I'm quite proud of coming to uni and staying.
I'm proud of you.
Because a lot of people don't know this, I originally went to Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for like 4 weeks and I dropped out. Lots of reasons, COVID being one of them. Everything was closed. I wasn't allowed to leave my flat. I couldn't go to my lectures. I also was on just history and not history and politics. So lots of things. But coming to Nottingham and staying
was a big achievement. Did you ever have any big moments where you're like, this is it, I'm done? Or is it just kind of... because I feel like most university students go through... there's one day at least where you're like, I'm done. I kind of want to drop out. But did you ever have a big sort of build-up moment? Or is it just kind of general, but I could drop out?
Not at Nottingham. Because I think because I'd done it, like I know what it feels like to want to drop out. And it's like, it's the best decision I've ever made in my life to drop out of Sheffield. Because I wasn't ready to come to uni. And it's the thing a lot of people don't talk about. I was not ready to come to uni, especially post-COVID. Like, I didn't even sit... I've not sat an exam since my GCSEs.
Which is crazy. And also, I've done... I mean, I've done online exams now and things like that and, like, tests at school. But I, again, haven't done an exam since my GCSEs.
Yeah, not done an exam since my GCSEs. I always wanted a gap year, but it was not really displayed as an option for me.
Yeah,
not maliciously from anyone, but it was just never like discussed.
Not on your radar.
No one asked if I wanted a gap year, And I like applied to basically 5 random unis for history during school because it was getting close to the deadline and everyone was saying, Gabby, you need to do it, you need to do it, you need to do it. And then COVID happened. I was also really ill in year 13. I like had like 3 weeks off school when I had glandular fever, like, and that like really threw me for quite a long time because I missed lots of school. I missed a set of mocks as well. So my grades were not based on anything. My grades, like predicted grades that we got rather than doing the exams, were basically just based on my performance in lessons. So I didn't know what I was going to do. So I took an unconditional for Sheffield because I wasn't confident. And I think that is part of the reason that I dropped out in the end, is that I wasn't confident. Whether I came to Nottingham confident that I knew what I wanted, I loved my course, I was happy in what accommodation I was in, I wasn't limited by COVID because I need people. Yeah. I need social interaction. Like, part of, I will come and sit in the URN office and I won't necessarily chat to everyone, but I hate sort of sitting by myself in my room. I hate it.
It's awful sometimes.
And that is what sort of COVID made happen. So I think I'm quite proud of staying at Nottingham. I'm also very proud of our SRA nomination.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was a really big deal.
It really was. I didn't realise how big a deal it was until we got nominated.
Yeah.
And that really like hit me. So the SRAs are the Student Radio Awards.
Yeah, Student Radio Awards.
We got nominated for the best podcast.
Which was wild for us because it's not like it was best environmental podcast.
It was just
best podcast, and it's what, you know, of all the people that applied, you know, 6 people got a nomination, and I was so convinced that we weren't going to get it that I made a joke to Erin. I said, well, if we get it, I will go streaking across campus.
Yes.
I have not gone streaking across campus.
Yes. Gabby still promised, and she promised everyone. You said it on the group chat.
I did say it on the group chat. Oof. It was a rough one, actually. But I was so confident we would, and then we did, and it was just like, it felt really nice to have recognition for all the work that we'd put in.
It is that validation. Sometimes you do need it. And that's also why I like asking about people's proudest achievements, because I find that with a lot of people, it is that sort of, there's an emotional thing that they've overcome, especially going to university. And I feel like this time in people's lives, there's all the stuff that was going on when you were, like, let's say a teenager, and now turning like even 19, but 20 especially, and onwards. Ugh, I'm 21, let's not talk about it.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm 21 in July. Ugh. Nightmare.
It's gross and disgusting.
Anyway,
but it's very much a period of change, and it's a period of a lot of people, like, I don't know, work on themselves quite a lot. And I think COVID gave a lot of people the clarity and the excuse to sit down and go, oh, actually,
yeah,
I know, like, for example, with you know, you needed people around, and you know you weren't going to get it, so you weren't going to deal with it.
And I, you know, I went and I tried,
yeah,
but I knew I was not going to stay. I knew I wasn't going to stay because, like, 3 days before, I failed my driving test, and it opened up the floodgates to the point where my mum went, do you really think you should be going to uni? I don't think this is about your driving test. Because
I went,
ooh, Karen, come on now. Bit strong, but it absolutely was. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to go. I wasn't ready to live by myself. I needed to go and work for a year and make friends with people who I wasn't at school with. Not that I don't absolutely adore and love my school friends. They are the light of my life, angels. But I needed to prove myself to myself I could make other friends.
And actually, I think that's a rhetoric I've heard from a few people as well, is taking a year off just to stay at home and work for a year. Firstly, you need the money.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We all need the money. And it makes then going to university, maybe you don't have to work while you're at uni or work as many hours or things like that. It seems to be like really good general life advice, because there's no rush. As much as you feel at 18, everyone's feeling like, I have to go to uni because what else is there to do? Take a year. Just work in the shop down the road.
Worked at a retail shop for a year. And I worked basically full time, and I did an extra A-level, so I taught myself A-level politics, and I submitted as an independent candidate, and I got an A-star. Humble brag.
Nice.
Not humble brag, it's just brag.
It's just brag, but it's a good brag.
But and I needed to be independent for a year, and I just needed a slower transition into uni from, like, what, just for me as a person, I needed to learn what my routine was when I wasn't at school.
That's another big thing, because university is not school. Especially,
you don't have a routine. You don't have to go to your lectures.
Don't call me out like that, Gabby.
No, that was not a call out. But I'm just saying, like, you don't have, you, like, you can follow the routine, but you don't have a set routine. It's not like school where you have someone telling you what to do every second of every day.
Mm.
You have to start making your own choices. And I needed to learn to do that before I got to uni. So I had things to rely on when I wasn't doing anything.
Yes. And do you think that's something you've really struggled with a bit? Or, I mean, yeah. I know routine is very important to you.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about this.
No, we do. No, it's fine. No, I love routine, and it's what keeps me sane.
Yeah.
Even like the clubbing routine. So me and my friends, when we go to Rock City, we go to the bar in the Rock Lounge, and we sit there and we have a drink first, and then we go upstairs to the main floor, and that always makes me feel
settled.
Yeah, because it also means that, like, that's everyone's opportunity to, like, nip off to the toilet and stuff like that before we go onto the main floor, and we all stick together and we all look after each other. But that's our routine, and it means that I can relax because I know what's going on. But I struggle if, like, plans change last minute. Sometimes it's fine if it's people I feel really comfortable with. So if it's Erin and Georgia, actually lots of the people from URN, that's my close friends, it's fine. But if I'm, you know, things like yesterday, I went on placement and I had to get the train to Newark, and then I had to get a taxi from Newark to this, to the Museum of Timekeeping, and I expected there to be a taxi rank, and there wasn't. So I was literally, like, stuck for ages, like, calling up all these taxi places, and that really threw me because I'd been told I would just be able to get a taxi from the station, and then I just couldn't. And that threw me because I was like, this was not the plan I had in my head. Do you know what I mean? It's not what I'd mentally prepared for.
I think that is a big thing for a lot of people, even if they don't recognise it. So it's really good you recognised it.
Yeah, and also I also let people know.
Yes.
Like, if you're my close friends, like, you know, it's okay to change the plan, but let me know, like, as soon as you can.
And one thing I love about us, and I always say this to you, is we're both the kind of people who, it's, if we're meeting at 5 o'clock, I am texting you every hour on the hour. We're meeting at 5. I'm excited to see you. And then as I leave the house, Gabby, I'm leaving the house. Or no, it'll be, Gabby, I'm just getting changed. Gabby, I'm leaving 5 minutes. Gabby, I've just left the house. And to some people, that's a lot.
No, but for us,
both of us.
Because I would do the same for you, because it just gives us, and it's like, I wouldn't do that with everyone.
No.
But I know you appreciate it, and you know that I appreciate it, because also you live in Beeston and I live in Lenton.
So far.
And if you go to Uni of, you know, getting from Beeston to Lenton should not be as hard as it is, but it is. It's an absolute pain to do anything.
It's honestly, most of the time, it's just that bit too long of a walk, because you have to walk the length of campus. I'm convinced if you didn't have to walk the length of campus, had to walk half the length of campus,
it would be fine.
It'd be fine, but it's because campus is right in the middle.
Yeah.
And we have a lovely campus.
I love campus. I adore campus.
What's your favourite place on campus? Can be for studying, can be for socialising, like all the little bits and bobs.
I like to study in Hallward.
What floor?
I like the first floor that you come in on, the little booths. I know, it's so rogue. It's so rogue, but I like the I like that it's busy.
See, I was talking to Margot. Shout out, listen to episode one. And I believe it was Margot who said, no, she doesn't understand the people who are in the booths. She's like, how can you focus? I watch everyone going past. But for you, that's the appeal of
it. Yeah, because it's like, it's almost like a societal pressure to do work.
No, but I feel the same way.
I've got to do work. Everyone's watching me. And then, so I'm thinking, the ground floor is a bit noisy for me. The middle floor is great. If I really, really, really need to concentrate, I go to level 3. Mm. Or level 2. The one above, whatever that
is. It's 3 and then 4.
Yeah, so level 3. Mm. I'll go there. And sit and do my work there. And then my favourite place to, like, chill on campus is the green bean bag in the office. Love that bean bag. Obviously. I just drag that bean bag into the corner and I sit there.
People don't know it's your bean bag.
It is my bean bag.
But it is your bean bag.
It is my bean bag. I don't mind other people sitting in it.
But as soon as you walk in the room, it's your bean bag.
If it's free, I'ma sit in it. If and it's free, I'ma sit in
it. And if it's not free, you'll make it free.
I don't mind the blue one either.
I'm kidding, but
the blue one either is fine. I don't mind either of them, but
green,
I do.
Green, just more your aesthetic?
Yeah, I'm just a big beanbag person.
Yeah.
When I get old, I'm going to buy a beanbag. They're really expensive. I'm going to buy a proper bean bag. Like those ones that are like triangle shaped. And they're, yes, they're really comfortable as well. And I just like tuck up there with my laptop, like tip tap away at whatever I need to do. And it's great.
I had, I don't know if I've ever told you this, I had a bean bag when I was younger. Just one of the circle ones.
Oh my God.
It was pink and fluffy.
Oh my God.
It was proper like monster fur.
I would have died for that as a child.
It was beautiful. I loved it.
I would have
so
hated
much.
You on the principle that you had it and I didn't. It's 100% true. It's jealous.
Speaking of aesthetics though, you inspired this question. So I've kind of, if anyone's listened to any episode of this, you know the, they know the answer. But Gabby, what's your most iconic item of clothing?
My most iconic item of clothing is my pink flares. They're like pink velour flares. And if you see me on campus, you know it's me.
Yes.
In these like bright, like hot pink velour flares. They're from a company called Hissy Fit, who I absolutely adore. They're all made from dead stock fabric, which is like fabric that's been, would end up in landfill if not bought and made into other stuff. And it's just iconic. Like the amount of people that, I think we had like one day where I was in the library where I had like four different people come up to me and be like, oh, I didn't know if it was you or not. And then I saw your trousers and I realised it was you. One of them being Erin. One of them was Emily Whiteside. And then two people like on my course. They're just an iconic item of clothing from me. And everyone is just like, yeah, Gary wears pink flares. Not worn them in a while though. I'm going to crack them out again.
I love them. And they're definitely all weather flares.
Oh yeah.
They cover winter, summer, spring, autumn.
They just go. It sounds weird. They do go with everything.
They're the perfect shade of pink. They are the moment, but they allow for you to wear what else?
Yeah, literally.
I love them. They are iconic and perfect. And as I say, they inspired this episode. We need to wrap it up in a minute, but I kind of want to ask you one more question before I ask you the last question.
Okay.
I want to go a little bit more into your degree, actually. Because I know you love your degree.
I do
love
my degree.
You're one of those people that actually loves and actually is passionate about their degree and still are even in second year. Because a lot of people at second year, they go, oh, I was here for uni, not university. And you're here for both. And I really
appreciate that. I'm so here for both. I'm a busy gal.
You know what?
If you know me, I'm a busy, busy gal. I'm always doing something.
I think your time out really actually gave you that, I'm guessing, clarity.
Because
as you say, you then did a politics A-level.
Yeah.
Did you apply to Nottingham to do history in the first place?
So I originally applied for history and politics and I applied quite late because I was putting it off. And they offered me just history.
At Nottingham.
And which I was fine with, to be fair. Like, I wasn't mad at it. But when I got my results, I emailed and just said, hey, like, I'd really rather be doing the history and politics degree. And then within 5 minutes I had a new UCAS offer come through of history and politics, and I'm so glad that I'm on history and politics now. I know, because I get the variety. I get the variety that I need, and I love the crossover between the two. Like, I'm not a medieval historian. I think it's really interesting, but I cannot write about it.
Are you definitely more modern history?
It's 20th century British politics
that you love. So the history will become such a big part.
It's the history of politics, if that makes sense, but recent. So I really am, I'm struggling with, I have to choose my dissertation, whether I go with the history department or the politics department, and I have no idea.
That's okay.
Which one I'm going to choose, because what I'm going to write my dissertation on, you could put in either category. So it's basically whatever supervisor,
or whatever style you want to go
style
with,
and also whatever supervisor fits with what I want to write about, whether they're in the history department or in the politics department.
That's,
but
really,
I have to make the choice reasonably soon, because I have to do it when I select my modules for next year.
Yeah,
I have to choose whether it's history. I don't have to choose my dissertation, but I have to choose whether it's history or politics.
Okay, what's been your favorite module you've done so far?
My favorite module so far was a first year module called British Political History, which then translates into a second year, like carries on to a second year module called British Party Politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
It's literally what you've just been talking about.
It's what I've just been talking about. It's the convener for both of them has been Andrew Denham. He's amazing. If you have the opportunity to have a module with him, he is fantastic. He has the best lecture notes and he's really helpful, but not overbearing. It's great. He has the perfect balance.
I love that.
He has the perfect balance between the two. And I love, like, I did an essay on the rise of Jeremy Corbyn. I had a whole paragraph on memes. What other degree could you do a whole paragraph on Jeremy Corbyn memes? It was fantastic. It was great. Know.
Definitely not mine. I'll let you. I'll
yeah, definitely not Erin's.
Yeah, I haven't been able to put memes into any of my.
Yeah, I got to a whole paragraph on like how, like connecting with youth and like official and unofficial Jeremy Corbyn memes. You couldn't tell the difference between the two, which is really, really clever.
You can't tell what's come from him
and what's come from him. They all just mixed into one. No, it was great.
I quite like that. Okay, I'm now going to ask you the last question.
Okay.
Hate to wrap things up, but...
I could talk forever.
We've got things to do. And sadly...
Yeah, we do, actually.
That does lead me into my question quite perfectly. Gabby, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to going to Ocean on Friday. Mm. Keep it shallow. I've not been to Ocean in a really long time. And I'm really excited to go to Ocean on Friday. And I'm also really excited for... I'm doing lots of things for my placement with the Museum of Timekeeping, getting to do loads of social media stuff for them. And I'm really excited about that too.
Sounds amazing.
Okay, a healthy balance between uni and university.
Love
that. I am the mix of both.
You very much are. You definitely are taking both by storm.
Yeah.
Doing both properly. Anyway.
Good.
Thank you for being on, Gabby.
Thank you for having me.
Massive, massive thank you to Gabby for being on the episode today. It was such a fun one to do. As she and I both mentioned, we are co-hosts, so I would thoroughly recommend Eco Frenzy. You can find it on every podcast platform, or you can find it on the URN University Radio Nottingham podcast feed, or follow us on Instagram at EcoFrenzyURN. And if you've enjoyed listening to my voice, make sure you check out our Instagram, Off Air on URN, to stay up to date with all the episodes coming out soon.